You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities in Merrows Arch in Johannesburg. David, it's been a week of shame for South Africa from a socio-economic point of view, I think, with incidents of violence, which is, I suppose, an interesting backdrop, because when it comes to the xenophobia, for example, I noticed that Nigeria is up in arms about the xenophobic violence against Nigerian citizens and against Somalians who have been targets in the past. But anyway, specifically Nigerians this time, for various reasons. And they've said, boycott South African industries. And I don't know how serious people take that the sort of thing in Nigeria. But they're a proud nation, and I think that maybe certain companies might be targeted. I don't know. What is your view on this?
I'm sure they would be. The two ones that stand out are, of course, MTN and ShopRite.
Yes.
I don't know whether everything has been reported, when there's been full reporting, and whether there have been incidences which are worth taking care of. I'm sure the shops themselves or the businesses themselves have taken as much protection as they can. But it is a worry. It's a worry that, you know, we talk about Ubuntu, and I'm not using my words, but Africa has always stood together and been, you know, even if you listen to Cyril Ramaphosa, this talk about Mugabe, I mean, going back to the fact that he did open the doors, or he did harbor refugees from South Africa or exiles from South Africa during the tough times here. So there is this feeling of camaraderie amongst Africans. And yet, when you look at what's happening in South Africa, we're anything but hospitable to outsiders. I don't know what's driving it, but Lindsay, the looting continues. You know, the looting, not every incident is reported or certainly filmed. You know, the media can't be everywhere. But there's no doubt that this is starting to bubble over and cause problems. So it is an issue. It has a, you know, the strange thing, and something that I always battle to understand, and is that it doesn't really reflect in the market. You know, it doesn't reflect in the rand. It doesn't reflect in our interest rates. And what that leads me to believe is that, you know, that there's very little human interference. You know, there are algorithms, and that's what dictates the markets. Because if I was watching from the outside, or I'd had a drive through Melbourne, I'd be very reluctant to come into this country. You know, when you actually see the social violence flaring up, it has an effect in Hong Kong, you know, where you're having these weeks and weeks of protests. Yes, it's affecting business there. But somehow I think markets have just been complacent. They've just brushed it aside. I don't know whether it's a good or bad sign. I think it's surprising.
A sign that the people that are trading the markets in South Africa anyway are numbed to the fact that this is happening, because we're so used to it and we accept it and we say, well, so what? It's another few shops that have been looted. It's another woman that's been raped and murdered. And it's another pronunciation from Nigeria about this or this or this. Or it is foreigners, or it's a combination of both. The foreigners are sitting in London and they don't really understand what is going on in this country. And quite frankly, they don't care. As long as they see the numbers every 6 months, it really doesn't bother them. They don't take a stand.
I think it's exactly what you're saying. I don't. In fact, if, you know what bothers me? I tell you what my real worry is, and I might have spoken about this before, is that when I look at the volume figures on the JSE, they're almost non-existent.
Yes.
I mean, this. I was looking today, because this is process week. You know, this is the week that we split. You know, we split Naspers. And process will be listed. And I look at the volumes on the JSE, and they're about just about 12 billion at the moment now, with less than an hour to go, 34% of which is in Naspers. That's 4.1 billion.
Yeah.
Take that away, there is no trade.
When
I say no trade, liquidity is very light. There is nobody interested in this market. This is a pathetically low number. You know, take out Naspers. So the worry is what happens after that, because there's no doubt in my mind it'll take a few weeks to settle. But any foreigner who wants to buy Prosus, which is really the heart of Naspers, is going to go to Amsterdam.
Yeah, there will be spin-off trades, of course, on the JSE.
But to migrate.
When is Prosus listing again? What is the date?
I think it's the 11th or 12th. It's this week
that
the split comes about. You know, and I'm not sure you can start trading. I'm not sure the mechanics of the whole thing, but it does mean that we're going to split the business. And if you're a foreigner, you're actually not going to get the South African share register. You will be now on a foreign register. So if you're a non-resident, if you had bought NASPAS shares as a non-resident, you were busy, if you were in the UK, you will actually get, you will go on to the Amsterdam register. You won't go onto our register here. So a lot of the volumes are going to automatically go on to outside registers. So without getting too technical, what it does mean is that a lot of our trade, a lot of the trade is actually going to bypass us and be fun, which I think is the purpose of the whole listing. So I'm concerned. When we lost breweries, we lost a lot of trade. It was never made up in AB InBev. AB InBev has never appealed and never attracted widespread following here. Even Glencore, when it came here, Lindsay, we never got big volumes here. We get very, very poor volumes. Anybody who wants to buy Glencore actually goes overseas and buys it there. Locals are not interested and haven't been attracted. I'm concerned.
It'll be a very interesting exercise, actually, if someone can sit down and say, over the last 20 years, and maybe even start with De Beers, and say, let's have a look at the high-profile D listings from the JSE Securities Exchange. Right. I mean, we've got Pioneer, that they're leaving because of PepsiCo, and although it's not a massive company, it's a chip away at the fabric of the JSE Securities Exchange.
And all the time.
Yes, the only way we're going to get volume to stay stable is if the Rand weakens, and which is obviously the wrong way to look at it. But it'll be fascinating to see in the next couple of months what Prosus does to the JSE's volumes, whether there'll be arbitrage between Amsterdam and South Africa. I don't know, but it certainly does seem not a death knell, but it certainly seems like a nail in a coffin.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. You know, from my point of view, it's I'm giving you anecdotal input. You know, I haven't got the numbers, but I look every day and I see. Well, BHP Billiton did the same. You know, BHP Billiton was originally Gencore, which became Billiton, which then did BHP Billiton, then became BHP. We've never really, even if you look today, the volumes are not here. You know, no one trades Billiton. While foreigners might have bought General Mining or Gencore, if they want to buy BHP, they don't come to South Africa. Even Anglo's volumes, not what they used to be. So your views are right. This we're going to see with the demise or with the delisting of De Beers or the absorption into Anglo American, slowly the volumes have just gone away. And this is going to be another example where I think it migrates. It takes time. It doesn't, it's not going to happen next week. And you might get a reaction to what we're discussing now. Everybody will come with another theory. Oh, yes, budget splitting into two and so on and so forth. But I'm telling you that over time, the volumes will migrate to Amsterdam, which is the intention.
Yes. Yes, it is. Let's have a look at what's been happening today. A company called AVI. I know you follow AVI. Yep. AVI's results came out for the year ended 30th of June this morning. I spoke about it with Greg Davies very briefly this morning on the opening, but the share price has reacted quite nicely. It was a slow start. It was down, and then it recovered, and then away we go. And when I look at it, I think, well, either it was oversold, or this was a slightly better, worse result than people were expecting, if you see what I mean.
I don't know how to respond to that, because I've always liked AVI and I've watched them very carefully.
You like the management, don't you?
I do. And they've got very good brands. They're top-end brands. What concerned me about the result is at the lower volumes. Mm. Lindsay, what does it mean? It means people are buying less. Now, you've got Baker's Biscuits and Five Roses Tea, and I'm trying to think of all the other good names that they have, And I would have expected them to at least hold up. What they've done probably is keeping their prices steady against lower volume, not wanting to discount. But in tough markets, you get competition discounting. My concern is that we are seeing consumer under pressure. This was a negative result. This share until 2016 went one way up. It was just a company that just kept producing. And in the last 3 years, they've actually lost almost 50% of their market value, just fallen back on the numbers. I think maybe they might have been a little too high, but they're holding up. But Lindsay, it comes back to something we've discussed before. If you're going to have negative numbers, in other words, if your profits are going to decrease or go sideways, then you can't expect to trade on a 15 multiple. You know what I mean? It's too expensive. It's not their fault. They're good management. It's just the economy that's acting against them. So what today is, there might have been something in the presentation that got the market up. I'm not sure. They're up about 2.5%. But I don't challenge the numbers. I don't challenge the company. I just challenge the environment in which they're trying to operate.
Like-for-like volume growth, or sorry, revenue growth of 1.2%. Mm. It says pressure on, this is to your point, on sales volumes in constrained consumer environment. Operating profit down 3%. Headline earnings per share down 4.9%. The dividend cover was maintained. Maybe that's what the market likes.
Yeah.
The final dividend was 250 cents per share. So they kept that nice and stable, which is a welcome bonus, I suppose. But they've spent nearly 500 million rand. And as they put it, investment to sustain and grow our businesses of 472.6 million rand. Just to stay stable.
They have to do this. You see what one of the issues as well with manufacturers, you know, if you're selling goods, yes, you've got a shop and you can buy less or and so on. But factories have to push through volumes. The more volumes they push through, in other words, the greater they keep the longer they keep factories open, the more they recover their fixed costs. And this is a big problem with our manufacturing sector, particularly in food, is that if you don't do the volumes, those fixed costs start to bite you. And I suppose this is an issue. They need volumes to increase their margin. So it applies to all. It applies to Pioneer, to Tigers, to AVI, you know, to all these businesses, and that's where the economy starts to bite them. So they've got to either they look for other markets, or alternatively, they're going to take time for them to, just to stabilize or stay steady. It's hard.
It's tough out there. And I give you an anecdotal piece of research that I've done over the last couple of days. I've been to the V&A waterfront in Cape Town on Saturday and on Sunday. You know, I haven't been there for a while, and it's a world-class facility. It really is. This new silo district, the very expensive hotel there, the African Art Museum, and what's sprung up around there. Growth Point has done a fantastic job, I have to say, at the V&A. But I went there, and I thought, goodness me, this place is really, really busy. I get out from my Uber taxi cab, and I go there, and I walk into the entrance where there's a McDonald's, there's a KFC, and there's a Wimpy. And it's full of people and kids and everything, and lots of noise, and everybody seems to be having a good time. And then you walk in, and there's still lots of people. But when you walk along the corridors, and you're dodging people because it's so busy, and then you look in the shops, there's nobody in the shops.
No.
People are looking in the windows, David. They're not buying. Yeah. There's a lot of footfall, but there's no spending going on. No. That was my impression of the waterfront. No. And my favourite restaurant, which is called Willoughby's, in the shopping centre, it was half empty, and it's always full. Mm. And I said to them, well, what's going on? He said, well, no, it's because it's a nice sunny day. We haven't seen the sun for ages in Cape Town. Everyone's in the outdoor restaurants. But I just don't buy that. People go for quality. If Willoughby's isn't doing so well, or seems to be, then it's a sign that people aren't spending.
I think it's expensive. You know, Willoughby's fish today is expensive. A KFC or a Wimpy is at the bottom end of the market. So I think that could also be an issue.
Yeah.
People just don't have the disposable income that we thought they had, and they're saving. So the Wimpy's will do better. People are starting to spend down. Yes, they want to get out. They want to walk and they want to enjoy the experiences, but I don't think they've got the kind of money. And it's coming through in all the results. It's coming through in all our retail results. Everybody's complaining about the same issue.
Mm.
So we'll see in the holiday season. I don't think that Cape Town, I don't know what the holiday season brings. I'm not sure how busy it's going to be. But I think globally, there might be a pullback. And as you say, you know, South Africa is actually becoming more expensive. It's not as cheap as it used to be. It's not a very cheap destination, or as cheap as it used to be.
No, I went to a hotel in that new silo district in Cape Town, in the waterfront, which is excellent. Lots of people, smart-looking people, having and fun. 60 rand for a beer. 60 rand?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
I know. I don't look. You know, the other point is that you've got a lot of duties on a lot of things that we import as well. But 60 rand for a beer is very dear. I mean, that's really expensive.
It really
so
is.
Those 10 rand beers that you used to have, not there anymore.
Gosh, no, they're really not. I'm going to have to look out for a few happy hour signs, actually, in the next couple of days.
Well, remember, people used to say they could get drunk on... I mean, a beer was £2. What's up to beer? 36 rand.
Mm.
I mean, now overseas, it used to be about £2 or £3 now. So you're saying it's more than £2. No.
Yeah.
That's expensive.
It is indeed. other companies coming out with results. There's a company called Workforce, which has gone up 14%. It's a property company. There's a company called Trellidor. They came out with their results to the year ended June, and also Bell Equipment. Any of those you look at?
Not really. Not they're very small companies. Trellidor's a fairly new listing. Sorry, on the JSE. I don't. You know, they're so small. It's almost impossible to to kind of get any kind of volume in any of those. Workforce as well. I think is it a placement agency or is it a property company?
I don't know.
I really don't.
Actually, Workforce sounds like a placement. But as you say, you don't look at it, and it's probably about not a thousand shares has pushed it 14% higher.
Not for any reason. No insult to the company themselves. No. It's just there's so much other stuff distracting us at the moment.
Yes, into distracted Greg Davies this morning on the opening, because it came out of the blocks with a 20% rally after 1 hour of trading. Into was up 16%. What's it doing now, David? Have you got it on your screen there?
I'm looking what's happening overseas because I'm looking at the FTSE. The FTSE seems to have reversed. You know, the GDP numbers that came out of the UK this morning were a lot better than expected, growing at 0.3%. In fact, into still up strongly. I'm looking now in the UK, up 11.23% in the UK. So I'm not sure if there's any news behind it because it's far ahead of other companies. Like Capital & Counties, which is up about 0.5%, and Hammerson, which is up 0.4%. But the FTSE itself is down, but I think that has more to do with mining companies rather than maybe the UK. Because generally, it seems that the UK companies are trading better. The pound now at 123.5, Lindsay.
Mm.
That's on the UK. I don't know what the latest is with Brexit. I have absolutely no idea. Because I can't keep up. I know that Johnson is now suspending Parliament again, but I don't know what that means, you know, in the greater scheme of things. But
it means, David, that they come back on October the 14th, and then they have...
Is that so?
Yeah, they come back on October the 14th, and then they have very few days to ratify whether it's a no-deal Brexit, whether they look to a deal that's done behind the scenes while Parliament is suspended. But when you watch CNN, CNN has some really, really high-quality UK parliamentary commentators, and they throw their hands up in the air and say, we don't know. We simply don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I don't think Boris Johnson knows what's going on either. I mean, he's been in Dublin talking to the Irish Prime Minister, and the Irish Prime Minister is saying, no, this, this, and this, and Boris Johnson is saying this, this, and this. And it just seems that it's a maelstrom out there. It's chaotic.
That's very difficult. And I think markets are just starting to work beyond that. You don't want to be involved in any UK stocks at the moment. Very, very difficult to understand. You know, other global markets seem to be... I saw the US markets open better. I'm not sure whether they're holding their gains. Lindsay, we on the S&P, we're close to 3,000 again. I think we've come... Mm. Yeah, we're 2982. I don't know where that is. It's
1.6% away from an all-time record high about half an hour ago, which is astonishing. Everything's been thrown at it. It's nearly at all-time record highs, despite the best efforts of Mr. Trump. And if you have a look at the Chinese news as well this morning, the export and import figures, the Chinese markets were quite buoyant because there's going to be extra stimulus. But the reason for the extra stimulus is because of exports and trade being affected by Donald J. Trump.
Well, sure. You know, we talk like this, but from an outside point of view, I was talking to a client of mine just a few minutes ago. Mm. And what I was saying, I said, you know, we look at the market and I see it going up, but I never get the feeling, or certainly over the last, and I'm going to say couple of years, not a couple of days, the last couple of years, you never know where you are by the end of the day. So you can open up on a positive note, But things change so dramatically minute to minute because of issues that you mentioned, because of Trump, because of Johnson, because of China, because of so many other issues, the Middle East, whatever it is, that you don't know where you are by the end of the day. So you never get that comfortable feeling that you're in the right direction. It's almost as though, you know, you're fighting every pace, every yard of the way. You have to cut through the thicket and make progress. So it's a very difficult market to understand. And even though we're talking now that markets are up and, you know, it's almost cynically saying, well, why are they up? That's true. We don't, you know, in many cases, you don't know where we will be in an hour's time. That's how difficult things are to read at the moment.
I think JP Morgan Chase has just come out with an index which measures the effect of Trump's tweets on the market. It's called it's called Volfifi, that comes out of that extraordinary tweet he sent out maybe a year ago with the word COVFEFE, and nobody knew what he was talking about. He's never corrected it. It's still there. It's up on his Twitter feed. So he is Twitter feed rather, and they've called it the Volfifi index, and they've analysed when the tweets come out, what it does to the markets, and what they have done to the markets. So it's an extraordinary time if you're a short-term trader, especially with the algos doing their thing as well. I mean, it's a bonanza if you get it right, but you're in the graveyard if you get it wrong.
You don't know. I don't think there's anybody who can read it. And I'm not taking away from clever people in that. I'm saying that how people can actually write an algorithm around what we see is almost impossible. So it's very difficult. I look at, as I've said before, we look at companies, you know, we try hope that they're on track and doing what they say they're going to do. But from a day-to-day price movement, it's very difficult.
It is indeed. It's very difficult to go through a weekend. I'm so glad I'm in Cape Town and there's sunny weather and I can go to the waterfront and wander around and do a bit of personal research into the retail sector. But without football this weekend, David, it's very, very difficult. This international break thing really, really irks me somewhat.
Yeah, until the competitions come, I think all the preliminaries mean absolutely nothing. And once you see the competitions, then things are slightly better. But I must admit, listen, you had the cricket.
Yeah, that was fun.
It is, and it's tense. It's very, very tense.
It was gripping, actually, yesterday.
Yeah, credit to the Australians. I mean,
whatever.
Steve Smith, see, I know you don't like them, but I mean, Smith is just something outstanding.
He's the best batsman in the world, the best we've seen for many years. He really is fantastic.
So that took a little bit of distraction away from the weekend. I mean, just gave us something to watch. But I must admit, I don't enjoy, you know, watching some of these Bulgaria play England. I mean, hell. Yeah. Seriously. Mm. How many people are there in Bulgaria?
But honestly, what was very interesting, because of the women's, I don't know, I'll ask the Bulgarian minister tomorrow when I see him. But David, you know what was very interesting is that Manchester United played Manchester City yesterday in the Women's Super League, the WSL, which has just started. It's a league tournament like the men's football. It was, Manchester City beat them. I can't remember the score now. But there were 31,000 people at the Etihad to watch this game. Chelsea played Spurs at Stamford Bridge. 25,000 people turned up to watch this. And without willing to be sexist, people have written off the women's game as some kind of sideshow. But no, it's now very serious. And I watched the highlights. Oh, no. The football is quite excellent.
Oh, that's interesting. I suppose they would rather watch that than nothing. At least it's soccer ball being
kicked. There's nothing else to do in England apart from worry about Brexit. David Shapiro is from Sasfin Securities, and that was Shapiro World. He'll be back with us tomorrow night with Greg Davies on the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.